All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, do we just kind of pick up? Because
pretend none of that happened.
Pretend nothing happened.
Yeah,
yeah. Very interesting pre-show today to the Barn Burner program, and I'm with you, Rhett. The discussion we were having, Ryan, you think it would get us in trouble.
Well, I don't know if it gets trouble. I just feel like it's a very slippery slope in which you could be well down the path of things you shouldn't be talking about, even on a podcast, even on the YouTubes.
But therein lies the problem, isn't it? That you're not allowed to talk about it.
So I would say not allowed. I just think, you know, like if someone's tuning in to say, hey, oh, they beat the Kings. I wonder what, oh my God, what the fuck is happening?
Well, this could be an maybe off-season podcast. Man, we'll save it for...
Maybe it's not a barn burner. Maybe
it's another show.
The three of us or our group could have that discussion, just not on this where I think people are coming in to hear about, hey, when's Coronado playing?
How about that Walker Deer?
Coronado ain't playing. Coronado ain't playing because they're making the flipping playoffs. Let's go.
What? Oh, Rhett's back
are
in.
You in?
He's,
no. Are you in?
Are you in? Two points?
Hell yeah. I'm telling you, these bastards are going to do it now because it's easier to chase someone down than to keep the lead.
We talked about this a while ago, and I don't know if it was you or if it was you, Rhett, that mentioned it, but the posture of a team being chased versus the posture of a team that people have already quit on and says it's us against the world, like let's just go. To watch the Jets post-game stuff last night, like, ooh, beaten animals.
The hunter like, versus the hunted. The
big time. Yeah. Big time. And I heard you talking about it, but last night was a very good reminder of like, oh yeah, this has been 5 weeks of this slowly sliding out of their hands. This was a team that was in first in the Central Division for a significant amount of time this season.
Now, I understand this, but we talked about it on Afterburner last night. It's all still contingent on the Flames winning more hockey in the next 3 weeks consecutively than they have all season.
That's right.
Yes, but you're making it sound like that's not the case for any. You have to win hockey games to make the effing playoffs. So fine.
But not every team has
7 games left. We have to be all in on this. They've played like, are they 7-3-2 in their last 12 games? Or whatever. That's not
like last night we looked. It was 5-2-3, but the two before that may have been wins. It's been respectable. What's been disappointing isn't the overall record. It's the losses that they have had.
It's
Anaheim at home to Friday, losing an extra point to Arizona. When they did get beat by LA, it was a slobber knocking.
I'm already on to the other side of the road here. We're into it. Let's go. The losses, that shit don't matter now, does
it?
You got 2 points to make up. You got 7 games to do it, and you play the shitty team that's absolutely floundering. Look out.
Nashville is not floundering, and they've got a really tough schedule, but they just won in Boston. They'll be a part of the story as well. But
guns.
You play Nashville as well.
Too many injuries. Boston overlooked them, just like Winnipeg overlooked San Jose. I'm telling you.
Who is
been
this?
Been around the game a long time.
Who is this guy?
Is this Todd Warner or is this Rhett Warner? What the fuck's going on?
Post-game show with him the other day, and he said, if I was buying tickets, I wouldn't be buying for this bullshit. The whole thing was bullshit. He wasn't coming back next year.
Dysfunctional. Screw all these guys. Fire
everyone.
Shame
on them. Shame on the GM and the coach.
Players are atrocious. Fire the coach. Get rid of the GM.
And now?
I said, shame on them if that's true. Then we were speculating that there was a lot of things behind closed door. I think they probably are true, but I can't confirm that.
All right.
Anyway, what do you want to do? You want to sit and play in the mud, or do you want to get dusted off? And
I have a question.
Baby!
Now,
Walker.
Now, Boom's a big big Peloton guy.
Oh, yeah.
Can you still burn as many calories backpedaling as you go forwards? Because Rhett's putting on a fucking clinic here. Get him in a studio in fucking New York, and you can sell tickets to this shit.
Look at you.
7 games. Let's go.
No, you know why?
We wanted a charge.
Yeah. He's coming back.
Because he's coming
to town. He's coming back.
Yeah. If you rip them again and then you start walking.
Fucking saddle dome.
No. I was on the show Wednesday. You guys said you were making it. So I'm all in now.
Or he's back. It's like, well, you know, if these games meant something, if they're in, I'd love to go to one of these games.
If anybody's got a suite, you know, I'm happy to come
by. I'm still alumni, right?
Dump the salsa into the cheese dip.
This is based. We'll go ahead. Fine. You're going to say it.
No, you're good. You're good. Go ahead. You said mostly this is based.
This is based on the horse shit going on in Manitoba.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's
fair. The Flames haven't done enough to make up the ground. Winnipeg is absolutely floundered and good. Good. What are we going to do? Bitch about it?
No.
The thing is.
Last night was.
Sorry, I was going to say, the thing is, they have been for a while.
Yeah.
It just didn't start the last 2 or 3 games.
No, it's a month and a half.
Winnipeg hasn't. So why are the Flames still the hunter? Why have they not been able to pass these guys?
Because they've won 3 in a row.
They should have overcome them by now.
Since fucking December.
But the point is, there's no sense living in 2 weeks ago. And I don't. They are dysfunctional, but you know, the hell with it. Be dysfunctional and make the playoffs.
Okay,
it's better than being dysfunctional and being out yesterday.
Yeah, that's true.
I agree. For our perspective, it's certainly more pleasant and uplifting to have some hope than to, you know, be the other way. But what are you seeing right now that gives you reason to believe that this team, whether they win 3 in a row twice, like that's the extent of their extended winning?
But
why now with what is it 8 games?
Said.
So what
seven
is
left?
It?
Seven left.
Seven left. It's Winnipeg can keep losing, but
Winnipeg continues to.
They still have to pass them.
Continues to f it up.
And quick distinction.
Yeah, so what? You're 2 points out, and you play them, and they're playing as. I'm sure I did not think the Flames were. And again, I could be wrong. I thought I read this morning they're 7-3-2 in their last 12. That's pretty effing good, if that's true. I don't know. It seems odd to me that. They went 7-3-2, and we were calling them dysfunctional. Anyway, the team that's the most dysfunctional is Winnipeg. And let's embrace it. Never liked Winnipeg anyway, so piss off Winnipeg. Continue to suck. They sound like beaten dogs. And the Flames pulled off a win against a team that had just won 12 in a row. And it's better to be excited about the last 2 weeks of the season and thinking, we got a effing chance here. And the other thing is, what have we said about the Flames all year? Well, if they could get a save. Markstrom's been great since having
awesome.
A kid. Well, the special teams be a little bit better. They were never, when was it, 2 weeks ago when the pregame, they showed all the losing by one goal or one goal chances or not coming back at a third. Like, there was a long laundry list of shit that had gone wrong. They've been this close all year. Yes, it's been frustrating and pissing us off. But if Winnipeg is going to play this poorly, let's get down to the dome and make some noise. We may as well enjoy it.
He's selling tickets.
There's no guarantees they make it. Happening. But we may as well enjoy a run.
Yes. Everyone will agree. Meaningful games, 75 through 82, way better than not meaningful. This is a death march if Winnipeg's playing decent hockey the last 2 months.
You're talking about getting in the draft.
Who's staying, who's going?
Lose games, come on.
Like it becomes a chore to watch pro sports, which is it should never be. This is so much better where you're looking forward to Friday's game in Vancouver. Like that's a chance for three in a row. That's a team they're playing twice. That's a team that's out of the playoffs. Like, can they be at their best against Vancouver? It matters now. It's way better. It's night and day. So two things. You're right. 7-2-3. In their last 7-3-2, in their last 12, that's dead on. And secondly, they're not two out; they're three. They do not hold a tiebreaker against Winnipeg or Nashville. So if they end up square, but that doesn't really change how I feel about anything, nor should it, you, Rhett. It's still Winnipeg sliding, and it's still a Calgary team that does not. If they're going to make it, there will not be a single playoff team left on their schedule. The two best teams they play: Winnipeg and Nashville. And if you're in, they're not playoff teams. You have the rest of your season against non-playoff teams if you can get your work done.
And if these guys can just put the shit behind them and keep going, they were a goal short or a save short all year. All we need is seven games. Give me seven. Come on. Come on. Give me seven good ones.
5-1-1? That gets you in probably?
Sure. What's that total points?
11?
Well, I was going to say, Winnipeg has seven left. Let's say they still struggle, but win two or three games.
Let's say they go 3-4, they get 6 points.
So
you would need to get three more than that. That's 9 points. So you'd have to go 4-2-1.
You got
to
win five games. You got to win five.
Five makes it easier. Yeah,
I don't want it to be tight. I think... Ideally, you win the next couple, and that game against Winnipeg, you jump them and put yourself in the driver's seat where you're not worried about what they do the rest of the way.
Yeah,
it's all on you.
Same
you
one.
Got to
get
to the driver's seat.
Yeah, these are big games. Like it's April 5 and April 10, the Winnipeg and the Nashville game, I believe. Like that's massive.
Nashville's I just feel like Nashville's schedule is just so hard.
It is.
And they're so beat up. They don't have a full roster. It's like, yes, they beat Boston. Yeah, 100%.
Tip your cap.
That is a tough task. But I just don't know that they've got the horses to get through this.
Here's their schedule.
They've got nine left, but they're all over, and they got tough teams.
Pittsburgh fighting for their playoff lives.
Did you grab that graphic?
I do have the graphic.
Yeah.
It's in the Pinder report, and it's numbered six, yeah. Alex.
There's a graphic that came out this morning, and it kind of illustrates it's got the remaining games. It'll help for the YouTube purposes.
Yeah, no, and that's a good call.
But you can roll through
what's happening. So Nashville specifically, Pittsburgh, who's a good team in a playoff spot fighting for their lives, that's coming up tomorrow night on the road. They come home for one against St. Louis, who suddenly look like a much better team. Jacob Vrana scoring a ton for them. I get a pair last night.
So that's it there, right?
So Nashville will be fourth from the bottom there. St. Louis, after them, it's Dallas. There's a team fighting for first place in their division. Vegas, there's a team fighting for first in the division. Carolina, there's a team fighting for first in their division. Yeah. Winnipeg, just don't go to overtime, you cocksuckers, like you did a month ago. And then it's Calgary, Minnesota, Colorado. Like, is there a bad team in there?
Yeah, they have two games in hand, but that's not an... But what would we have said going into Boston? That wasn't an easy one.
No, and I guess the point is that, you know, if Saros wants to go 35-36 nine times, they're going to get in. But those are a list of very good teams. And the worst team they play is a St. Louis club that I think is better than their record and, you know, actually feeling pretty good right now.
And then there's the Jets that sit at the bottom.
Winnipeg has got Detroit, New Jersey, Calgary, Nashville, San Jose in the last two games, and who the hell knows what these teams will be playing for, if they're resting or fighting for their lives, the Wild and the Avalanche.
So same as Nashville, just kind of...
Yes, they just play them a couple days later. Yeah.
So, Rhett, is this you honestly feeling like they can, that they will do this? We know they can do it, but every time we have done this, I said it's Lucy with the football. Every time Charlie Brown thinks she's going to hold that fucking football, she pulls it away. They go and they beat Dallas. They beat Minnesota. They come home. They lose to Anaheim. They win against a good opponent. Then they lose to friggin', you know, lose a point to Arizona. They lose to Chicago. They have done this all season, and I get it. There's no reason why at the 70, 75 game mark, you can't suddenly just not do it anymore. But is there not part of you that thinks, fool me once, twice, three times? They beat the LA Kings, good team, and pretty much it feels like every time this season, they have followed it up with a dog against the team that you feel they should beat.
Well, first of all, I'm pumped that they're two games out. We asked for it. Yep. I'm shocked that they're 7-3-2 in their last. If they go 12-5 to, or even better, to finish the season, that's the kind of games, that's the kind of numbers that we talked about they have to do to put on a charge. Does it guarantee them anything? Absolutely not. We know that. They're not in the driver's seat at this point. Yeah. But what are we going to do? Be pissed off that they've lost a freaking Winnipeg? So what about Winnipeg? So should they just hand it in now because they lost to San Jose? Chicago has won lately. Teams do win. The Flames have shit the bed for the most part of the year. But if you have seven games and have to make up 3 points and you play that team, again, Nashville has something to say about it, but you also play Nashville. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying that watching those other teams, it's right there for you. And you only have to play seven good games, and you have the schedule makers have given you a favor. Vancouver's played well, but surely to Christ, you can rise up and elevate your game. What I'm looking for is guys like Kadri. You know what I'm looking for? Markstrom's done it. Since having a kid, he's elevated his game.
Yep.
What needs to happen now is that the big dogs who got the fat contracts and that are supposed to be the focal points and the key to this team, I want to see Huberdeau go, holy shit, we're there. I'm elevating. I got to get past my dislike if that's what it is for the coach, and I'm just going to go play for this team because playoffs are there, and if we get a playoffs, anything can happen. Kadri, get over yourself and go play like you did last year in the playoffs. They're right there for you. All Lindholm, elevate some more. Play even more. Backlund, you've been on the cusp being a great player and a great leader your whole – you know, the last 8 years of your career. Seize the moment and solidify yourself as one of those guys that's been a great Flame for life, right? Like, the opportunity for all those guys to erase any bullshit that's happened up to this point is, it's right there, and all they got to do is play seven games.
Yep.
Seven games.
They
play them all, for Christ's sakes.
And you said they're not in control of their own destiny. As early as Friday at midnight, they could be. If you get a Nashville loss and a Winnipeg loss on Thursday and Friday, and you beat Vancouver, you then will play each of them one more time. You're in control as soon as that. Now, the flip side is also true. A loss on Friday against a Vancouver club that's played at a very brisk pace under Rick Tocchet and has scored goals all year, even though they've lost a lot, that would be a devastating blow. I mean, it's great. We have a meaningful game on Friday, fellas. But we thought this would be a death march.
You know, If you look at it, though, it's like the whole thing has been, can the Flames play the way they've been playing? The way they played last night, they snugged things right up on the LA Kings. So that third period, the special teams was strong. They score a power play goal. They killed off all the power plays. 2-1. We heard Daryl after the game. He's like, no, I don't. This is your kind of game. Hey, Daryl, no, I don't. Maybe I used
10
to,
years ago.
I used to preach that. Now it's, if you got a one-goal lead, go get the next one. Keep pushing. It's less about what Vancouver's done. It's not PTSD. It's just that's what the Flames have done all season. Mm-hmm. We've seen them lose to every team, it feels like.
Well, of course
Vancouver can beat them. There's a lot of teams that are below Vancouver that have beaten them. Vancouver's got more victories or whatever it is. They're tied for wins now. But if the Flames can avoid this friggin' banana peel repetitive thing that they've been doing where they are, you feel like they finally figured it out to your point, Red, all of those things have finally dropped into place, and then they come out and play a game that makes you just put your hands up and be like, why did I think that it was different? Why did, how did I get sucked in?
Because it's sports, and that's what you're supposed to do. That's the whole, right? Like, it would be wonderful to say that we're the Boston Bruins and we're breaking records, setting records that have never been set, and we're going to clinch with 10 games out. Most teams aren't that way, right? Like, most teams aren't that way. And I don't think that the Flames were designed to be in this position. I don't think that was most people's expectations at the start of the year. Me maybe being one of them. But if you can't embrace the excitement of it and go, holy, even with all the shit that's happened, it's right there. Again, let's not be naive. I can't say it enough. I'm shocked to see it's 7-3-2 in the last 12 games. I didn't realize that. I was like, whoa, okay. That is a very tidy number. It's Winnipeg that's giving you the opportunity. I'm not talking about Nashville, and I might be an idiot for it, and I can be proven wrong on numerous occasions. I just think Nashville is too injured, too beat up, and they got too tough a schedule to make it happen. Could be wrong. Winnipeg, to me, is a sitting duck. They're wounded, and they don't even know which way to turn. They look beat.
They're reeling.
3-0 is San Jose. But it's been a death spiral for 2 months. Like, here's a question. What would you rather have? Which team would you rather be cheering for, Winnipeg or Calgary?
You'd rather be where Winnipeg is in the standings, but you'd rather be playing like Calgary right now.
Frustrated because Winnipeg was fighting for home ice freaking play
in the West
spot and seating.
Yeah.
Right? In the West, they were fighting for home ice in January. They might not make the playoffs.
It'll be a disaster there if they miss.
They might not. Right? Like, you got to get excited for it. And if they lose to Anaheim or Vancouver, well, then it's the death march again.
Well, and.
But
yeah.
You might as well enjoy the roller coaster ride while you can.
And you know what else they've got? And I grabbed a clip from Afterburner last night. They've got Markstrom playing well, and they've got a lot of things going on. But as we're about to show you with this clip from last night, there's one other thing that the Flames have right now that Nashville doesn't, Winnipeg, nobody else does. The Flames have something special.
Wonder what it could be.
You were there. Little Afterburner last night. Little secret weapon.
Walkner! My toast of the game, broken record. This prick's going to get it till he stops scoring or playing like a stud. 5 shots, 1 goal, 10 minutes, 40 seconds of ice, 6 points in his last 6 games on the fourth line. Walker fucking Doer.
There you go.
Love and this guy.
Walker fucking Doer.
Apologies
scores
for the language.
Again, the Doer last family. Night, Retro.
South Dakota.
If you want to keep scoring, kid, awesome. Wait till you get into the playoffs. You want to score there?
Woo! Rhett's going to buy that jersey. You're back in a couple days. You're getting the Doer jersey. Let's go.
Doer is great. And I don't think you can underestimate how important he is to that team.
He's been great.
He is a heartbeat for them. And don't kid yourself. The rest of the team's watching him. They can see how flippin' excited he is for everything. And they're feeding off it a little bit.
Does he remind you?
He's a leader right now.
In your playing career, do you remember a guy coming in like that, like shot out of a cannon, and maybe it doesn't last forever, but God, that guy lit up the room?
Yeah, you're thinking of guys that you cheered for, and you just good people that you could get behind. I know there's examples of guys. Brain doesn't work good enough. I can't come up with names, but yes, it's a kid. He comes in, he works, goes about it honestly, and gives her his all. And you're absolutely pumped to see him have success. Like, he's doing everything and anything and everything you could ask of him. And those rest of the guys, they have to be happy for him. And it's setting an example. Listen, Lucic to me looks better.
Yep.
He's crushing guys last night. Running in the
line was fine.
Banging the piss out of him. You think that's an accident?
I think it's a big part of it.
Walker Dewar's dragged them back into the excitement.
They need pace on that line. It's a huge difference when you have a third plotting member of that line, like when it, or someone that's blazing and making some plays to get the puck to the net. I mean, that line threatened.
They got the game winner. And so I can only imagine that when you're an older guy and you're on the fourth line, you have to feel like at sometimes you don't matter. Any ice time you're getting, why are they out there? Why are they playing so much? You know they're not going to do that. They're a threat to get scored against. But all of a sudden, if you can start to contribute, I just have to think that you puff up your chest and you feel so much better about yourself and life and everything. And I'm with you. I think that it does look like there's some youth injected into Luch here the last little bit. Maybe it's the run and all of that, but I'm with you. There's something. Not to get carried away. There will be people in other markets, all these guys out of South Dakota, calm down. But you know what, though? These are the little things that do matter. And we said it last night. It's why I'd like to see Pelche get back in.
Yep.
Youth and vigor, it's infectious, and it can change things. And who would have picked Walker Dewar to be a guy that would be contributing regularly here in the last couple weeks? Nobody, but he has been. It's intangibles a little bit, but he's also, the way he plays, you can see there's a spark there.
Here's how I know I'm excited about it. Because last night, watching the game, I'm half-assed disinterested. Because I'm like, well, this is, it's death march, right? You're like, ugh, this isn't going to go well. I mean, you might get help from Boston. They'll probably beat Nashville, but Winnipeg's going to clean up on San Jose. So even if you do win, you're still one less game to make up ground. They win. Wake up this morning, check the box scores. Holy F. They're 2 points out. San Jose beat the Jets. And the Jets, reading the quotes, sound like they don't know which way's up. And now I'm actually... The Vancouver game on Friday night? Did I have any interest in that? It's must watch now.
No, it's huge.
Absolutely must watch now.
So important question for Rhett.
Massive.
He's coming into town. He's got to get his Dewar jersey. Can we get a customized Dewar jersey with like 12 or 13 U's and E's in the middle? Like, can we make the name bar this big? Like all the way to the big rainbow. We need it. I got videos people sending in on social. They're doing the Dewar at the game. It's fantastic stuff.
And, one of the other things, too, that hasn't happened all year, that is slowly, it feels like it's starting to happen. It happened last night. It was the Anaheim game, I think it was. Is Andrew Mangiapane is now scoring some goals here and there. Mm-hmm. It was long, double-digit game droughts. He's got 2 goals in his last 4. It feels like he's feeling it a little bit more.
I like him on that line.
Mangiapane, Lindholm, and Toffoli have been just fine. I've liked Blake Coleman. Even when he's not scoring, he drew a penalty last night. He's been engaged. Backlund
nice
is Backlund.
Chance. Yeah.
And, Huberto with Backlund can't be a bad thing.
Yeah.
He can get some guys playing better. Then that fourth line, Lewis, Lucic, and Walker Dewar, and you might think, move Dewar up. Get Nick Ritchie off the third line. Put Pelche back in with Kadri and Dubé. Oh, lots of speed and stink between the three. Get Pelche back in. It's not a hate against Nick Ritchie. It's just, it's more youth. It's more speed. It's more, Ritchie has scored. But I just feel like there's more offensive potential there with Pelche.
And I like the pace that he brings. If you got Dubé on one side and Pelche on the other, that's a lot of weaponry for Kadri to use. And, Nick Ritchie teases you because he's got all the skills, but it's just, you want to see them more than a flash here or there.
Very much.
He's still Nick Ritchie.
What did we look last night? Pelche's played 2 of the last 7. It's time. Come on. Get him back.
Yeah.
Get him back in there.
Yeah, and the benching from the last one is he made a big error when they lost 8-2, like late in the game. Anyway, he's been good.
I'm not going to be negative. I'm not negative. I'm with you. Bring him in.
And you know what? We're in the Tower Chrysler Studios, of course. Tower Chrysler. I checked in with Serge.
Good. How's he doing?
He's good. Because, I just... Serge, everybody's talking to me. Are they in? Are they on? Is it going to make it? Serge says, they're going to make it happen.
They're going to make it
happen. Jets game, Preds game, win those two, you're in.
Let's go.
Those are huge games.
Winnipeg's in. Winnipeg, Nashville is here in Calgary.
I wonder, I was thinking about, you know, going out to Ken Weber, talking to somebody about what's happening in Winnipeg, but it's nothing new, right? And I think you've got the clip, but
yeah.
Rick Bonus after the game, we've talked about the other part of it too, is when's it fun to go to the rink and when's it not fun to go to the rink? The Jets want to be away from the rink big time right now. They don't want to practice. They can't believe what's happened. For the Flames, for the first time, they get a day off today after some travel. Let's go. When do we practice on Thursday? And when do we leave for Vancouver? It's the first time in a while, Rhett, that they've probably looked forward to getting to the rink and being around each other and getting ready for a game.
Okay, so here are the numbers on the Jets. Their last 21 games, 7, 12, and 2. Like, that's a ways off 500. Oof. So you're talking 16 of a possible 42 points. Ouch.
Yeah, if they 500, you're dead. The Flames are
dead. Oh, you're cooked. Like, just 500, just. And look, you make a good point. It's not like the Flames have played well for 2 months to get in this spot. They've kind of hung around, but it's been Winnipeg. And how fragile that group has to be with the last 2 months they've had. And it's been a spot where they haven't been able to go to their backup, David Riddick, A, because he hasn't been great, but B, because all these games are must win. And they're already saying, like, geez, like, Hellebuck's already playing too much. It's a tough spot. And the psychology of being chased every night, one of Nashville or Calgary's playing, that's, whew, no fun there.
I'll say this, every Flames loss is going to feel like a absolute kick.
It can only probably have one or two.
Right in the old.
If you think about it.
The old dick.
The pebbles.
Yeah. Well, I didn't expect that today to start the show.
Well, we've always been an unblinding source of positivity. I don't know what you're talking about.
When you want to feel good, you need that little pick-me-up.
Turn on Barn Burner.
It's the Barn Burner boys for you.
Barn Burner and Lanny McDonald's, one and the same.
Yeah, that's true. The Hearing Loss Clinic. Remember, we gave one lucky viewer/listener a Lindholm jersey.
Jersey.
Yeah. We've got a Hubie jersey.
Oh,
yeah.
Do we?
Yeah. We got a Huberdeau jersey.
Wow.
We sure do.
It's not like this is a real.
It's a real. Yeah, it's real.
I think someone said it was signed. Is that right?
It's autographed. Yeah. It's a signed Hubie jersey, Blasty on the front. It's a beauty.
We're not going to keep that because we could keep
it. No, I think Rhodesy would want us to give that away.
Rhodesy.
Although we could probably tell him he didn't. Is he going to come in here and start sniffing around?
Audit us? What the hell?
Don't worry about it. Hearingloss.ca is their website. Watch our social medias here between now and the end of the season. Probably the next week and change. We'll give that bad boy away. Beautiful, number 10, autographed, the Blasty. Which do they still look great. And I said it before, they look better in person than they do when you're watching them on TV. So watch our social media. Watch the Hearing Loss as well. Their social media, they'll be putting it out there as well. They're, just want to get it right, they're Hearing Loss, at The Hearing Loss on Twitter, on Instagram, at The Hearing Loss Clinic. And we will have a beauty little jersey for you to give away here in the next little bit.
I mean, you're going to need a nice fresh jersey for the playoffs, right? Rhett's, and we'll get to it in the Pinder report. They're not, by the numbers, they're not coin toss, but you got to like the vibes when you consider how Winnipeg's got to be feeling.
If I buy this bullshit, let's cover this bullshit back next year. I'm not buying tickets.
That was like 80 hours ago.
It was
that many?
It was a safe statement, though, Boom, because if they missed the playoffs and continued to play and be dysfunctional, you knew changes were coming, so I had an out. Like, I could buy tickets. Like, they were.
Yeah.
There's going to be changes.
Well, they heard Rhett's thing, and that's what spurred them into action. Yeah. I mean, clearly, Rhett's the catalyst here. If he hadn't made those comments, what are the odds we see that type of performance last night?
They should have and listen to me, and they wouldn't find themselves in such shitty spots.
They would still have Yusuf Alamaki.
That's right, they would.
Rosie'd be a star.
Yeah. Think of all the guys they would have traded over the years.
Yeah, Gio, get out of here.
Yeah, they'd have been just flush with picks. Let's do the, we're going to do some Ask Rhett because we believe you're traveling tomorrow. Tomorrow's a bit of a travel day. I don't want to risk it. And then if you're here on Friday, we're probably going to be,
Don't mail it in tomorrow. Do try to get on the show, but we'll do the heavy lifting of Ask Rhett today.
Are we drinking on Friday?
Well, you know me, Ryan.
Are we doing a spirits? Are we having a spirits show. I know I said that only at Christmas we should do the spirit show, but I wonder.
First day he's back. He's here for like a couple weeks, isn't he?
I do think we might want to go see a client or two.
Oh, one of them. Hey, how you doing? One of them has a pub.
So great to see it
on Friday. It's my first day back. I might need a couple days to settle in. I'm back for a while, fellas. It's not a 2-day weekend.
So, Madros, how's your poutine?
I'll have another, please.
Let's do the Pinder Report. It's a presentation of Village Honda. They can't wait to see you at Village Honda, Rhett. They're pumped that you're back in town. Mr. Fowler.
See you next week.
That's right.
See
you,
fellas.
Village Honda. Can we wash our vehicles now?
And I did. I was treated. I came back from the vacation and Mama Bear had washed the truck. First time ever.
Village Honda has detailing packages starting at just $79.95. Clean that winter salt, the grime, the gunk off the inside and the outside of your vehicle. Book your detailing package today. VillageHonda.com in the Northwest Auto Mall. It is the Pinder Report.
All right, fellas, we start last night at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome where the LA Kings, you ate to see it. They got thumped, did the Flames by the Kings last week, a chance for revenge. And, Jacob Markstrom wanted to pick a night to be at his best. Last night was a very good night to pick. Here's just a small sampling of some of the monster saves he made in a one-goal victory for the Flames. This is chronological order, I believe. This is right after the Flames' 2-0 goal was disallowed.
Huberto didn't play that one great at the line.
So there's a big glove save on a 2-on-1. But he just looks like a different human, Red, doesn't he? Like the confidence, the poise. This is a goal in February. Whew. Kick save and a beauty. That was a bit of a shit show. Don't dive there, by the way, Zadorov. That's not helping anyone.
Such a pass.
Another one, another glove. And then the last one, we get the reverse angle here. This is late in the game, still 2-1. And that's the leading goal scorer for the LA Kings. I don't know if he misses it a bit, but Markstrom gets that left arm on it. I had 6 saves starred in the old game notes last night. He was great. And boy, it seems like a long time ago we talked about this guy being lost, not knowing if he'd ever be an elite goalie in the league again. And goaltenders remain, just keep doing what you're doing for 7 more games.
But it does seem, Rhett, and I said it to Ryan last night, since he's had the kid.
That feels like we were waiting for that moment in the season where things turned.
It feels like a very clear and definitive or defining moment on when he decided to start playing.
Yeah, or whenever he was pretty just feeling sure good again.
The next game.
Yeah.
Anyway. Weird how personal life might F up your professional life. Never heard of that.
How's Buffalo, by the way? Oh, sorry. So we will get to Afterburner from last night. We were live at the Grey Eagle Resort and Casino, Rhett, for the post-game show. We talked about Markstrom. We talked about Walker-Dewar. But most importantly, we hit some of the hard-hitting topics that other places in the media aren't comfortable talking about.
Am I led to believe that there were some people at the Dome tonight who are in the part of the Pinder Army who went to shut down the Wave in the third period?
The Wave got neutered tonight at the Dome. Wow. And I'm not anti-Wave. There's a time and a place. Yeah. When you're in L.A. and your team's up 8-2 on the Flames, you do the fucking Wave the whole way home. I don't give a shit if you do that in your sedan and the fucking car ride back to the coast. Whatever. When it's out of hand, do the Wave. Have some fun. It's, you know, whoop it up a little. But when it's a one-goal game, and it's like, well, if they lose, their season's probably over, and it's misery. And if they win, you know, we can still hang on to these slim hopes of potentially a postseason. That's not the place to do the goddamn Wave. And so here it is. Kelly Pollock on Twitter. Section 213 successfully shut down the Wave. Sit down, Section 212. It's a one-goal game.
Look at that. People doing the Lord's work. Shutting down the shitty Wave in the third period of a one-goal game in the last 3 weeks of a season when you're trying to chase down a playoff spot. Thank you to everyone booing the Wave. Got shut down in multiple spots in the Dome.
What happened? Big win.
Sit down, Section 212.
That's right, 212. You watch your ass.
Yeah, don't
Don't do it. There's hunger. All right.
Guys doing
okay, so let's look at the probabilities from the game last night. Obviously, a Nashville win in Boston, a Winnipeg loss in San Jose, a Calgary victory at home over LA. First, we'll start with Money Puck. These are their playoff probabilities updated this morning. I had some graphics written on. They didn't go on. My apologies. I uploaded the one without the notes. Flames up to 31.5%. They've got Winnipeg 59 and Nashville at a lowly 10%. Dom Lestician of The Athletic and his model also saw a big bump for the Flames. I've got to underline these ones. I think these ones do have the notes. He's got the Calgary Flames up to 28%, Winnipeg at 53, and Nashville at 20. So either way, they take big jumps, whichever model you're looking at. And the one thing the model does not account for is vibes. And the vibes are shitty as shit in Winnipeg right now. If you're watching the post game, it's a hard no bueno. We'll get to that in a moment. Here's your look at the standings as of this morning. For the first time, it was 7 points not long ago. It is now 2 points, and your points percentage, if you zoom in there, it's still Winnipeg 8, Nashville 9, Calgary 10, but the gap is very tight to the point, as we noted, you could be in control of your own destiny by as soon as Saturday of this weekend. We showed you the schedule coming up already, so we'll skip that. Walker Dewar scored again, boys, and this is a great piece of investigative journalism. And I don't know if these are put beside each other. They're in the same room at the same time. But nice when you get two of the greatest of all time in the same place, or at least to be able to compare, whether that's Tom Brady and Joe Montana. Right, maybe okay. It's Pele and Messi. Let's have a look at this tweet.
Where are you going with this?
Yeah.
But it's
Walker Dewar. Do we have a Walker Dewar?
That's all right, because you've kind of skipped one, and then you know it's all right though.
It's all right.
This is a tweet. You're on. What's on Twitter?
It's on Twitter.
You're in the Twitterverse.
We'll move along. We could save this. This is from James Johnson, Wayne Gretzky, and the greatest player of all time. How do you like that, Red? Hey,
that David Moss.
That's cute.
That's walking there, baby. Kind of looks like Moss.
We may be getting ahead of ourselves. Yeah.
But, well, David Moss might not be far off.
But as Rhett said, why be anything but excited? Some positivity, positive vibes.
Yeah, positive vibes only.
Positive vibes only.
Positive vibes.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Sad day today, as Brad McCrimmon would have turned 60, Rhett. He, of course, passed in that horrific airplane accident in Russia in the KHL. Just saw that on sort of a note for what happened this day in history. Was beloved by his teammates. Flames alumni tweeting out some love for Brad McCrimmon on what would be his 60th birthday. Sad stuff.
Beloved guy.
Yeah.
The hockey world. Loved.
64th birthday. Loved. This from the Flames alumni. He was tough as nails. Beast was his nickname. And one of the kindest souls you'd ever meet off the ice. A leader. He inspired all of those around him as a player and as a coach. Okay. We talked about Winnipeg. We'll move to some other stories in the NHL. This is Rick Bonus, the head coach of the Jets, his club with a sensational first half of the season. And, not good since. Let's see if he can pick up some of the wives from the Winnipeg hallway after their loss in San Jose last night, Rhett.
Not good. Not good vibes.
Read some quotes. It's not.
No good.
Don't have it?
No.
Don't have it. All right. Essentially, the quote that's going to make some waves is the, if these guys, some of these guys think that that's giving their all, they're dreaming. i.e., I need more. And he's been critical of veterans, and kind of reminds me of Paul Maurice the last couple of years, being critical of veterans.
But how about your veterans totally? How long has it been since Scheifele and Wheeler scored?
That would be a good question for a Jets podcast.
It's like 20 games, I think, for Wheeler. 21, I think, and 12 for Scheifele. Like,
it's a sick feeling.
Tough to win.
Right?
Yeah.
When you're just by your fingernails hanging on, and San Jose, you had to think. When you, like us, you know, all fans, media, the team would have been looking at those games coming up over the next 2 weeks. You had to have San Jose. Had to. And then you get shut out. That's, you know.
You got to score against those teams first. The longer you go, and if they're, the pressure on those teams is zero. And when you're the Jets or the Flames and you get down to a team that you're supposed to be beating, the pressure, it just is going to grow and grow and grow the longer that game goes.
So Winnipeg's next action, Detroit, New Jersey, then Calgary. I just think of these teams playing the Jets, knowing what they're going through. Like Detroit's season, they're not going to make playoffs. But like, how fun is it to be like, boys, we get up early, we can shatter these guys' hopes and dreams. Yeah. Like, and like San Jose last night, like how loose are they? How good are they feeling?
If you don't do it, you're okay with it. But it would be.
Let's
would
ruin be their lives.
Or that's the prick in all of us.
Yeah.
Like, let's go out there and watch them get uncomfortable if we get up 1-0.
Totally. Let's make these guys squirm.
Yeah.
Yeah. To some non-hockey and Canadian sporting news, huge shout-out to 16-year-old Summer McIntosh, who I believe competed as a 14-year-old in the Summer Olympics for Canada in the pool. She set a 400-meter freestyle world record at 16, Red.
World record.
Holy shit.
Weren't you a swimmer, Rhett?
Can you swim?
Long and lean?
Huge arms.
I never lost.
Yeah.
Never lost.
16. Oof. World record.
Very nice.
That's great. And also, tip of the cap to our Canadian men that beat Honduras 4-1 as well last night. In
Cootie Hardos.
Cootie Hardos to our men's soccer team.
McIntosh, isn't that the toffee? Don't they make the toffee?
Yes, delicious. And good apples.
Computers?
Oh, wow. What a successful family. No wonder. We shouldn't be surprised at all. Finally, Rhett, this from the Shoveler. It appears there's been an event in Buffalo that may...
Shoveler sending you friggin' notes?
Again.
I'm sick of the Shoveler sending you pictures.
Well, I haven't asked her to stop because it's really helping the show and I get a big kick out of it. This apparently travel day tomorrow, and look at Rhett's passport. No, I don't know who you had over or if one of your kids wasn't fed. This is horrible. Just shredded the passport. Pages missing. Good luck at border control there. You're getting turned around at YYC, buddy.
I'm out. I went to France once with a passport that had gone through the wash. They were not happy with the register.
That's the most rad thing ever. He also told us a story a month ago about playing for the Detroit Vipers when he never played for the Detroit Vipers and just going up to Windsor for the night, but didn't bring his passport and tried to get back in the States or didn't bring his papers.
Yeah.
My working papers.
They keep an eye on that stuff. Hey, yeah. I'm working over here.
So I don't know if you've got a new dog or what the story is, Rhett, but I hope they can expedite that new passport for you.
I got the 24-hour. I got to pay the extra hundo to get her in 24 hours. Come on, let's go.
All right, there's a Pinder Report, fellas.
There you go. Pinder Report, a presentation of Village Honda. Get your piece, just a sliver, of the $1 million buy-in event that is on the go at Village Honda. Get cash for your vehicle. Village is paying top dollar. They'll throw in a tropical cruise to boot. See more at villagehonda.com. They are committed, dedicated to getting that lot filled with quality used cars and trucks and SUVs and vans and all of it. So get up there, check them out. Maybe they're going to buy your car. Maybe get Uber home. You know what? They'll put you in a shuttle.
They're good at that.
They'll put you in the courtesy shuttle, take you home. Northwest Auto Mall online, villagehonda.com, your dealership for life. What's going on with you, Rhett? Just curious. And this dog talk.
My passport's not going to help.
Dog talk.
Yeah. Well, you asked me yesterday about, you know, the dog. Is he calm? Is he kind of... Then about a week ago, you were asking something else about the dog. And it's like... Then you said your thing. Are you thinking about getting another dog?
Well, when I got that dog, I'd put my name down for a different breed of dog.
Yeah.
And so the lady actually, the reason it came up was because the lady contacted me and she's like, are you still interested in a puppy? Oof, I don't think I am.
Really?
Who are you going to give this dog to if you get a new dog? That's going to be, huh?
That's the question, right? Like, how do you hand it off after 3 months? I know where it could go. Boom would take the dog. What loves the dog?
What kind of dog are you talking about?
Poor Boom.
The level dog.
Huh?
It's like a Levitt. L-E-A-V-I-T-T.
Levitt.
Bulldog. It's not an old English, one of those little porker ones. But
Yeah. Huh.
Levitt Bulldog.
So
it's not totally dissimilar to the one that you pawned off or tricked Boomer into keeping. That nice color scheme there.
No, yeah, not totally.
Got the... white shirt under the nice jacket there.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I'm gonna.
Why you want to give me my dog back?
No. I'm putting
what
a.
You're trying to say.
I want. This file probably isn't gonna work, but I had something yesterday. I should have put this in. I have it. It's not an MP4, so I don't know if Alex is gonna be able to do it. But I was gonna show you a little something yesterday because it was your. Your old dog, that is now my dog, it was his birthday yesterday.
Ah! And?
Was it really?
It was. My daughter, because it was a year ago, the shoveler, after everything, you know, so we got the dog. For people that don't know, I have Rhett's dog. Rhett bought a dog, left the country for months. Left the dog with me. It never came back to pick up the dog.
He tricked you.
But we got some of the info about the breeder and, you know, the litter that the dog was born into. And that, well, that's, we need to know what his birthday is. So last year we missed it. My daughter was very upset. So yesterday was his birthday. So we had to celebrate the boy's birthday yesterday. Thought you'd want to know.
Louis. My name's dog, Louis.
Yeah, they, you know.
Was Louis.
Buster. Yeah. It's all right. We took him out yesterday for car rides and treats and stuff. It was great.
If I get a new dog, Walker.
Yeah. Yeah, that would work. Yeah, that would work. All right. One other I was going to do something here. I don't know if you guys knew this about me. I am a... I'm an accomplished lip reader.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's one of the things over the COVID.
The pandemic, yeah.
Trying to do something. What can you do? Go to school, do some online learning or whatever. But I took a lip reading course. I've actually gotten to be very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to show you. It's the first time I feel like I kind of want to strut my stuff and show you guys. Yeah,
you must be feeling confident about it.
Yeah. Because something happened last night. So, well, you can...
Boy, I wish I could read lips.
A lot of people.
If only I knew
what,
people that could read lips, but I'd know what was going on here.
Yeah, there's a lot of people aren't going to know what the heck that guy was saying, but I can clearly see it. So let's take a look here. This is in the Detroit Pittsburgh game last night.
Tough loss for the Penguinos.
Derek Lalonde is the Detroit head coach. So there's Zucker. Now this goal is they're challenging for, you know, goalie interference. The puck goes in. It's called a goal. Detroit says, he pushed his puck. So here's the thing.
After coach's challenge video review, the call on the ice is confirmed there was no goaltender interference.
So watch Lalonde here. You have to be fucking kidding me. What the fuck is goalie interference? What the fuck?
There was no goaltender interference to call on the ice. Stands, good goal.
Really?
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on here? What the fuck is going on? So, you may not have known otherwise.
Oh, I mean,
right? Because you always want the microphones.
I thought he was giving an earful to the goalie. Like, you got to stop that. But he was talking to the refs. Yeah. I mean, that's wow.
They want microphones on the bench and all that sort of thing. But
after coach's challenge video review, the call on the ice is confirmed. There was no goaltender interference.
Yeah. So
that was helpful. Yeah.
You have to be fucking kidding me. What the fuck is goalie interference? What the fuck?
Boom, I'm proud of you. That's a lovely skill set you've
added. What the fuck is going on here? What the fuck is going on? Oddly, he got the toss.
Oh, he inspired his troops.
The official had enough of that, big that win nonsense. There. Yeah.
They're gripping. You're welcome. They're kind of doing Winnipeg East, eh? Have you noticed? El Pinguino?
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're.
I hope they miss out, too.
You're not, you still upset about Mario breaking your ankles in the playoffs or what?
Well, who do you want in, though? Because we've talked about this before.
I mean, the Sabres or the Panthers to make it, but.
So they have dropped six of their last eight. Excuse me, seven of their last nine.
The Penguins?
Yeah. And that's losses to Montreal, a pair to the Rangers, one to Ottawa, at Dallas, the Red Wings. It's like, oh, boy. Poor Alex is hearing that about Ottawa.
I know, yeah. Yeah, I know.
Two wins in their last eight. Ouch.
Gosh.
500, you locked it in. Instead, fighting for your lives again.
Travel day tomorrow. You'll be drunk on Friday.
Apparently.
We'll do some Ask Rhett today. You feel like you got it in you? I feel like I feel like your emotions are high. I feel like you're alert. You're
it's
all
positive
into it.
Today. That's good.
Yep.
It's good positive advice.
Can you hear me? Am I frozen?
No, we're hearing you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Perfect, but we're okay.
Why, your Wi-Fi stinks? Your internet's no good?
It's windy out. Whenever it's windy out, my Wi-Fi is
dark. Oh, I see. Or the shoveler's got
on
some.
On my screen, I'm about 12 seconds back.
Season two, we can get him a hard line.
As long as you guys can.
I think.
Shoveler's got some P-Hub going in the other room. Hope Street Rental Property Management. Save your own valuable time. Let Hope Street find or manage tenants. Earn premium rental rates, letting you sleep easy knowing that your property is safe and protected. Book a virtual meeting online. Let Hope Street get to work for you. Canada's Property Manager of the Year. Locations in Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary. They are online, Rhett, at, what's the website again?
HopeStreet.ca.
Yeah, it might be a little clicky. Okay, this was from, I don't know. We try and run a clean ship here. This is from Kevin. He emailed in to AskRhett@flamesnation.ca. Hey, Rhett, as a fellow bad shoulder hurt bag, I have a question. After my shoulder surgery, my right arm was in a sling for 8 weeks. I found it next to impossible to wipe my ass with my left hand. I basically had to take a shower after every crunch. What have you found most challenging about having bad shoulders? Thanks. Birds. It's from Birds.
Birds, is that really the question? Come on.
And he is frozen.
He doesn't like that toilet humor.
I guess not, yeah.
He's just...
Well, we got talking about the squatty potty while you were away. He's got one. Yeah. So tough to do Ask Rhett when Rhett's not here.
It's a good teaser for tomorrow, though. Once he gets on that very reliable airport Wi-Fi.
Yeah, there he is. You're back? Did you hear the question?
Nope.
I'll paraphrase. Birds, he's got a bad shoulder, had shoulder surgery, sling for 8 weeks, had to learn how to wipe his ass with his other hand, was no good at it, was not an ambidextrous wiper, had to take a shower almost every time. What tips do you have what did you find most challenging with bad shoulders?
This is not a difficult thing. It's called a bidet.
Very reasonably priced, the Ladons to your toilets.
Now, didn't you buy one after you broke your ribs?
I did.
And then you didn't install it?
I did. I didn't get it installed, but it's still the right answer. It's, yeah. I mean, why have a whole shower? Where can you just take care of things that need to be dealt with? Now, the other side of the coin for that question is you should all practice doing. I brush my teeth with my left hand.
Supposed to make you smarter. Supposed to make you smarter.
Yes.
What?
Oh, yeah. You're using parts of your brain you don't use. You just do something simple like brush your teeth the other hand. Genius. That's why he's a good idea guy. Savant.
Yeah. Really?
Just a chance.
It's true. It's true, Dean.
Could get that brain moving different ways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Rhett. My current jersey is an 04 Cup Run Oliwad jersey, complete with a Stanley Cup Final patch.
Wow.
Is it time to replace it? And if so, whom?
What in the
place?
Are you talking about replace it? That was one of the greatest jerseys ever. The only team to go past in 30 years to advance a couple of rounds. Like, and it's an Oliwa? No. You hang on to that and you don't spill on it. Treat it like gold.
No.
You can get another jersey because I think you should support the Flames and give Murray Edwards some of your money. That's a good thing. But keep that bad boy. It's an absolute gem you've got there.
I think he needs to rephrase. Replace is absolutely the wrong verb. What if he wants to bolster his lineup with another jersey? Do you have a recommendation?
Well, I think the three of us would agree that there's only one and one and only walk. Deer.
You need a 71. There's no conflicts. It's a 71 you need. Him or Malkin, best 71? It's a push. I just say go with the home
it's
team.
It's tough, yeah. Now, are you kidding? So this is the Walker Deer. You buy a 71 Walker Deer jersey today. 2, 3, 4 years from now, you're fine. You're happy. You think this Deer has staying power.
It's frozen again or pensive, very pensive.
You get a new effing phone every year, probably. Why don't you get a new jersey every year if you have to? I think Walker Deer will be here long enough that you'll get some enjoyment out of that jersey.
If he keeps playing like this, it'll stand for something good. It'd be like if you got a Hathaway jersey back in the day. It never cheated you on effort. You'll always, as you see a Hathaway jersey, you're like, yeah, that was a nice little chapter. It wasn't forever, but it was a good one.
Have you seen Hathaway as a Bruin? Real stunner. He's fit in.
Have you seen Tyler Bertuzzi as a Bruin? Have you seen Dmitry Orlov as a Bruin?
So
everyone
good.
They've added has fit like a glove.
For Christ's sake,
last fucking night when they could be Nashville, Dean. Those clowns.
Yeah.
Dean in the lineup, he'd have 20.
Maybe. Hey, Rhett, WrestleMania 39 this weekend. You watching?
I wasn't going to, but now that you bring it up, maybe that's something a guy could do.
I feel like
is it on a Sunday night?
Bill's Mafia would be into that. Probably a Sunday afternoon-y type thing.
You know what?
Right?
It's changed a lot. They do. It's like a 2-day thing.
Really?
Like Saturday, Sunday, I think is what it is now. Yeah. It's over 2 days.
I can't do back to back. I could do one. Maybe my kids, I'll be hungover. So that'd be a great Sunday night. Big bowl of popcorn. Throw that on. The boys will be jacked up.
Yeah. You're going to be here, though. Are you bringing your boys? Is everyone coming or what?
April 1st.
The whole crew. The clan.
Really?
The clan will be there.
Nice.
So April 1st is the Saturday or the Sunday? The Saturday. And it says here it's a 7:30 Eastern, 7:30 Bills time. Inglewood, California at SoFi.
That shade ain't going to work. Saturday night, are you kidding me? I'm behind all my old haunts.
It's WrestleMania.
I'm going to hit some of my old haunts.
Yeah. It's WrestleMania.
I'll buy it cheaper on Sunday. Rent it cheaper on
Sunday. You leave the deal the day after?
Yeah, that's not really how it works. Hey, Rhett, charcoal for the grill, overrated or worth the work?
Worth the work, absolutely. It's the best.
Explain.
It doesn't work. Well, it's just a longer process, but the flavor is just, it's 100 times better. It's way better. You get a gas grill, it does the job. I don't ever complain about using a gas grill, but charcoal, oh, yeah. Take your time, get that baby lit up, get it smoldering.
Is there a...
Briquettes all heated up.
Yeah, because you can buy the bags, right? That's Like you buy the whatever it is, the round cubes of charcoal. But then there's the bigger, you buy the bigger chunks of it, right? I've had it a couple of times. Guys have made it. It's been like, oof, it's too much.
Don't want the dust on there.
I feel like there's got to be some limit to how much you use, or how does it work?
I think you're an idiot.
Okay, good.
So I love it.
Fair enough.
Put that if you'd like.
Fair enough. Who the F you're hanging out with, but clearly they're amateurs.
Yeah, you know what? You're not wrong about that. It was clearly a friggin' amateur. Hey, Rhett, saw the photos of Tom Brady hanging out with his ex-teammates the other day. Is that what it looks like when you and your old boys get together?
Yeah, look at this.
So there's Brady. He's what, 44? 45?
And then I think that's...
Look at Edelman.
Edelman, or yeah.
Look at Edelman. Bunch that's
of knobs these guys are. Oh, sure.
Dave.
Look at fucking football Gronk. Guys. Big look deals.
Go back to Gronk. Deals.
Look at friggin' Tom.
I get together with my buddies, and you know what we do? We throw the cameras into the garbage because we don't want idiots taking pictures of us.
This looks almost staged. Yeah.
Jesus.
You think?
What Tom Brady.
Top Gun? Are they their own version of Top Gun?
Girlfriend.
It does kind of look like, where's the volleyball net? You're right, Rhett. Those guys.
Photographer out there? Beat it.
You're right. Those guys are losers.
Billions.
Friggin' losers.
You ever hang out with football guy, Boom?
Chevrier.
Kind of. There you go.
Yeah. Kind of it.
Oh, that sound very nice.
Yeah.
Did you see Tom's new girlfriend?
Jimmy, we love you. We love you.
Author?
She's not going to sink.
And finally, do you know what a puppuccino is?
Glad it's not Ask Pinder here. I'm stumped.
See, a puppuccino is a product, and if you're a dog owner, you can go to Starbucks and get a puppuccino. So they take the little shot glass.
Whipped cream.
And we've got the video here. Alex does have it. We went and took Buster and our other dog, Birdie. We took them for some puppuccinos yesterday for Busty's birthday.
Listen to this.
Look at him go.
What's your birthday, Buster?
Jesus.
Just pop. It's like boom.
Oh, is it?
See, it's easier for the bird dog to get in there. She's got the longer snout, but poor Busty. He's got that stout snout there.
Good.
Yeah. Then we have to take some stuff to the dump. Dude at the dump had a big pail of biscuits. He's like, oh, what do we got in there, two? Yeah, we got two. Here you go, guys.
Nice.
Get it in there.
It's good
a heck of a day. So there you go.
Should have kept that dog.
Let's ask Rhett. Presentation of Hope Street property.
Happy birthday, Busty.
Save your own valuable time. Let Hope Street get to work for you. Canada's Property Manager of the Year. Locations in Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary. HopeStreet.ca. Let Shaman and all of his staff, his people, get it done for you.
Good people.
Good people. Where are we at? What do we got to
do? See him wavering on dogs again? What an asshole.
Hates
dogs. I knew something was dog, up. Something with dogs. Now he's loving dogs again.
Because he brought up the dog a week ago. And then he asked the other day about, so is a dog? Is he just kind of... So what is he doing now? Because as a pup, dogs are a lot.
Oh, yeah.
They're rammy.
They got to chill out a bit.
They're into everything. They're chewing
like
Zadorov, on stuff.
Right? They need a little gravy.
And now he just kind of does a big stretch in the morning. Goes downstairs, stands in the kitchen by the bowl, looks up at you. You going to feed me or?
What are we doing here?
What are we doing? I'm friggin' starving over here. So then you feed him. Then he stands by the door, just kind of stares at the. Oh, do you need out? Yeah, so then you let him outside.
Okay.
Goes and takes a deuce. Comes back, kind of stands at the door.
He's not loud, eh?
No barks. Oh, let him in. Bark. Comes back in. Another big stretch. Hits the old beanbag chair.
Out.
See you in a few hours, guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's good living.
Got a great morning.
Yeah. I'll see you guys. Have a good one.
Then he fires up a computer, does a podcast. It's exactly like Rhett. That's unbelievable.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Well, I think you should get another dog.
No, you don't, because he'll end up living at your house.
No, he knows now. When the first time, it's like the first kid you have. It's like, this is, what have I done? My life is ruined. I can't leave. I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. But then you realize over time, things get better. If you were to have a dog now, you've already been through the puppy phase. You know that it's challenging, but that it does come around.
Listen, part of the dog issue is that the other person in the house has brought up adoption.
Of a dog or a human?
Not a dog.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're trying to cut this off at the pass with a puppy. I see what's happening
here. Well, I don't know. I mean, on one hand, what are you going to do, right? Anyway, that is quite a topic.
That's I didn't see that coming.
You're not a cat guy.
A lot of twists and turns today. A lot of twists and turns.
Yeah, the pre-show was fucked.
Yeah, the pre-show was a disaster.
Jesus.
We got a guy sitting in here for the first time. Oh, let's see what goes on behind the scenes of the barn.
They seem like nice fellows.
We got Jack sitting in here. And then Alex starts talking about all kinds of gross shit before the show.
Serious.
Come on, Alex.
Serious.
Come on, Alex.
A lot of questions, Alex. A lot of questions.
Too much, Alex. Too much, buddy. Betway Bets.
I bet you we'll never do that pre-show again.
Betway Bets, and we'll get out of here.
Yep.
Betway Bets of the day. What do we got? Three games tonight? Three, four?
Yeah,
four,
just three.
Three games. I can start off right at the very top. You go to the Betway app. They got sometimes got the Betway Boost. They got a Betway Boost for you today.
Okay, tell me about it.
Toronto, Washington, Colorado. All win, plus 500.
All at home. Florida visiting Toronto, Islanders visiting Washington, Wild visiting Avs.
Wild have been awesome at home.
Yeah, they're in first place right now. You seeing this?
Well, that's the thing. Take a look at that Central Division standings.
Yes, it's tight.
Colorado can pass Minnesota with a win. They're 1 point back. Dallas is right there.
Yep.
It is a slugfest.
And the Isles have kind of been on a sneaky little heater. Remember, they're out of the playoffs and they added Horvat, and they're tucked nicely into that wild card one. In fact, close to jumping into the top three in the Metro.
The other game, so I'm going to take those. Toronto, Washington, Colorado, all money line wins, plus 500. And then I went inside the Florida-Toronto game. One of the pre-built bets is a Leafs money line win and a Barkov point, plus 100. If you go Leafs money line and then like a Marner or something else, there's not much value. Get Barkov. Give me a Barkov point and a Leafs win, plus 100.
Barkinator.
Those are my two Betway bets.
I got too excited about the Islanders. They're way back for top three in the Metro. Okay, here are my picks of the day. I'm focusing in on Panteros at Leafs. These were two playoff teams in the Atlantic last year. We know Toronto's in. They got a nice bulge over Tampa for second. Florida fighting for their lives, but not really well. They got pumped by Ottawa the other day, I think. You're going to get in? What are you doing here? I like the season that we Willie Nylander's having. A power play point plus 155. And Austin Matthews has been playing through a hand issue all year. Finally starting to get it going on the goal scoring front. First of the game. That's all we're asking, Austin. You spell your name fucking weird. At least score a goal for us first. Let's go. Plus 600. Betway bets of the day.
Wild have 95. Colorado 94. Dallas 94.
1 point separating three teams. One will get a wild card. The other will start on home ice against another one of them. Whew.
What would the first round matchups be in the East if it started today?
If it started today in the East, Boston would face Pittsburgh.
Okay.
That would be fun. Let me make sure my fucking thing's right. They got the wrong goddamn date.
Sorry, I'm really putting you on the spot there.
No, that's all right. It would obviously be Toronto, Tampa in the 2-3 for the Atlantic. The Metro would be won by Carolina. They would face the New York Islanders, and it would be Devils, Rangers in the 2-3. That's some good series.
Yeah.
Boston, Pittsburgh, that's just, I like that. That's
good. See, I'm with you. I don't want the Islanders in there, but I kind of feel like I'd like to watch the Panthers miss.
Yeah. You know,
I'd kind of like to see them miss. That's just personal, though. Friggin' Chucky.
Yeah.
Show him.
That's you and your
9, 10 million living in Florida tax
Lamborghini.
Free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, doesn't sound so great to me. Just a couple of things. I was going through the notes this morning. Kind of a hated you know, and I didn't. I don't. Uh-huh. I don't profess to have spent a lot of time watching hardcore details on the Oilers.
Humming.
But did you see Nugent Hopkins and the season he's having?
4 points away from 100?
Jesus Christ. Did you know? Hey, did you know he's got 96 points?
The offensive seasons that the Oilers are having, if you just look at all of them and put them on the same page, like, oh, shit, they must be doing what the Bruins are doing. They're fucking third in their division.
35 goals, 96 points in 75 games. If he hits the hundo, they'll have 300-point guys for the, like, last time was Mario.
Yeah, what have you?
Mario and Yoggs and Francis or whatever it was. Jesus, 300-point guys? I had no idea.
It's not if. Like, they got fucking seven games left. He's going to need 4 points.
Like, I knew Nuge was having a good season. I didn't know he was 100 points. Did you know? Hey, did you know? Tim Stützle. This is not for Alex.
Alex, settle down.
He's got 80 points.
Oh, yeah. Monster sophomore year, right?
Not a playoff team. He's got 80 and 70, 82 and 70. And your boy, Braden Point, he's three away from 50 goals.
We were talking about it. Quietest guy to 40 this year, for sure.
41 was his previous high. He's just been chipping away and chipping away. He got 47.
Couple the other night?
Yeah.
Good player. Calgary boy! Calgary boy! Ooh,
Braden
Good
Point.
Calgary kid. Let's go, Billy!
50's a lot of goals, man. Braden Point could be a 50-goal guy. It's a lot of goals.
And what, like the fourth best player on that team?
That is the crazy thing. Kucherov. I said it to you a few weeks ago. I was like, I wonder what kind of year Kucherov. I haven't heard much about Kucherov. Kucherov any good? Oh, third in scoring or whatever the hell it is. They'll be an interesting one to watch.
Yeah, and if you look at the last couple deadlines they've had, they gave up two firsts and two assets for Hagel. Good player.
Yeah.
Not a great player. So I think it was Kachuk, Radish, and two firsts. This year they do the same thing, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, for Tanner Jeannot. And with Blake Coleman, who was on a really team-friendly deal that had some term left, they gave up a first with New Jersey back in the day. They did the same thing, a pick swap with San Jose for Barkley Goodrow, who was on a cheap salary for another couple of years. This has kind of been their move, but they're like out of first-rounders for the next 3 years, I bet. And they're not stars. They're tertiary support pieces. I wonder if you can keep doing that. Is this the year they don't get through, or are we fools to expect them to be what they aren't every other year, which is, oh, yeah, they'll just hit a switch in the playoffs and be like, oh, yes, we forgot. It's Tampa. It doesn't matter that they're a three seed. They'll pump Toronto.
You wonder if that is indeed, because that's what it's going to be, right? That's going to be the matchup. It's just
cement. No one's catching the third place team in that division, and no one's catching Boston for first. It's 2-3, Toronto, Tampa, 7 points between the two before yesterday's games. Like, it's happening.
Do you feel retro with Toronto, Tampa? Gun to your head, who are you picking? Does it feel like this is maybe finally the year that Toronto does it?
The only thing I do feel like it is, I just have a hard time going against that Vasilevskiy.
100%. You can break down these teams, and they're both deep, and they're both talented. There is a decided edge in net. There might only be one or two teams that you can line up against Tampa and say, yeah, goaltending's about a wash. And it might be Shesterkin in New York. Maybe it's Sorokin with the Islanders, who might win the Vezina this year. But if Vasilevskiy wants to be the best goalie in the world for 2 weeks, it wouldn't be new. He's done it before, and you can outplay him, you might lose the series.
It was interesting hearing Julian Brisebois talk about all those draft picks, and he kind of ran through his rationale by it. And it's, if you then get into the slide and you realize, okay, we're not cup champion, lose conference, lose round two, don't make whatever, they're going to have enough skill, enough players there to sell off and recoup some of those picks.
Yeah, for sure.
They're not going to go 5 years or 6 years without a first round. You're going to get picks. And I don't know. I kind of applaud it.
Of course. It's great. Seeing teams that are close and in their window and trying to win, that's what sports is about. It's why you're like, what the hell's Kenny Holland doing using his first round picks two of the last 3 years or whatever it is?
Yeah,
like,
some teams you squint.
You're in your fucking window with McDavid. Like, you're waiting for like Yamamoto to be something. What are you doing? Like, the Ekholm is way better than a guy that in 3 or 4 years might be a really good player. You've got 2 years left after this with Draisaitl, three left with McDavid. You should not even be thinking about drafting in the first round last couple of years and moving forward.
Now, that said, if you want to spend that assets, the draft pick capital, that's one thing. When you spend that much of it for Tanner Jeannot
or Brandon Hagel,
you know, how much better are you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, in the year they won the Cup, we heard a lot about the line of Coleman, Palat, and the other player just noted Goodrow.
Yeah.
And they, you know, that. Oh, and it's kind of a the thing we fall prey to. It's like everyone praises the third line. Like, oh, it's that Paulson line in the Ducks. Like, well, it's the fucking Stars that are really good. And if your third line can play well, it's amazing. But like, it's really about Kucherov, Point, Stamkos, Hedman, and Vasilevsky, because it always is. And if your third line happens to be tough to play against, great bonus. Do you want to give up four first rounders to add to third line? It's pretty much what they did with Coleman and Goodrow.
Now, while you're chirping the Oilers,
they're on a heater.
Do you see where they are? They right have there. A legit shot at winning the division.
They're third in the division. I'm sticking to my guns.
I understand they're third. How far back of first are they?
3 points, right. And Vegas has a game in hand. They are further from first in the division than the Flames are from a playoff spot.
Oh, there it is. You're something else.
It's possible. It is wild, possible. Though, to think that McDavid's going to put up numbers we haven't seen since like the 80s, maybe once in the 90s. To think that like Draisaitl is a second gunner, will have what, like 120 points, some stupid. They'll have a third player with 100 points. Tyson Berry was having a career year. You know, like you look at all the seasons they're having, and it's like, oh yeah, and then, you know, they were in a wild card until about 2 weeks ago.
McDavid has 60 goals, 143 points. Leon has 47 goals and 116 points.
Jeez. And Hyman's having a great year.
33 goals.
Nugent Hopkins having a great year.
They have 100 points. I don't.
They score goals. Can they fucking defend? Go look at their last five. They're playing bottom dwellers, beating them 7-6, 5-4, going overtime.
This guy.
They're going to score a lot. Can they get saves and play defense when it matters? LA's a nightmare matchup for them. I really believe that.
That'll do it for this program. Tomorrow, Warner from an airport, perhaps. And then on Friday, just right gunned.
Why? What's all this tricky on Friday thing? What are you talking about?
I don't know. It's a Friday and the boys in town.
I'm the one that's supposed to be cheering on a drinking show on a Friday.
Well,
what are you doing here?
I'm not worried about you. I have zero concerns.
What if I have plans?
Right.
I need a ride Friday, Dean. I need a ride.
Home or like you want a vehicle?
Yeah, it's both.
Well, both. But
yeah, you're either drinking or you're driving a vehicle. You're not doing both.
So that'll do it for the program. We'll see you tomorrow. It's a little quiet time now for the Flames. Off day today.
Off day today. Back to tomorrow. We haven't talked about it at all. Chris Tanev's now missed, what, 4 or 5 in a row? And his stall... not there.
I know.
Coronado's in. Gilbert's in. They've got some bodies around now. There's no roster limit after the trade deadline.
Rhett mentioned it last week after that game when Tanev left and Darryl used the Zador. You know, Z's going to have to be better. Going to have to play some big minutes now for us. And you said, does that mean Tanev's out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not ideal.
Now, I mean,
doesn't matter. It'd be nice to have him, but it's 7 games. Let's go.
Be ready for game 8, Chris.
You're not worrying about Tanev. Beat the Canucks. We hate the Canucks. Canucks suck.
Need you for game 1 of the Battle of Alberta. Let's go. Steal one in Edmonton. Just get home ice right like that. Let's go.
That'll do it for today, everybody. Thanks for being a part of it. Support the sponsors. Support the show. Subscribe, like, share. Tell your friends.
5 stars.
If you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't like it, then just
shut your mouth.
Just shush. And we'll see you tomorrow, buddies. That's it. It's Barn Burner.
Oilers suck, and so do the Jets.
All right.
Ooh.
See you, buddies.
Spicy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.